Don't worry, I promise I'm not going to be up here long enough to need to drink that whole bottle of water. But I'd rather have more than not enough. If you have your Bible tonight, turn to the book of Jonah. And we're going to read the almost all of chapter 1. We're going to read 16 of the 17 verses. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, and if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." And they said, every one to his fellow, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" And he said unto them, "I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land." Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, "What hast thou done this? Or why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us?" For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, "Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, "We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee." So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I'm not real big on titles, but I guess if I had to title this tonight, it would be Storms We Create. Storms We Create. And I see three different things in this chapter. I see, number one, I see God's calling. Number two, I see our running or our rebellion and how it affects us and those around us. And then I see an eventual submission. So for the first part, for God's calling, we'll just go with the first two verses. Or really just verse number two. It says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So Nineveh, I was doing some research on Nineveh this afternoon. And I knew a few things about it, but I found out some other things I didn't know about it originally. We know that Nineveh, the Bible says later in the book of Jonah, that it was more than 120,000 people living in that city. It was the capital at the time. It was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. It was over 1,800 acres, and it had walls around it that spanned more than, I believe it was 7.5 miles. It was called the Robber City. That should be pretty self-explanatory, but in case it's not, Robber City, meaning that Nineveh got their riches, got their resources, got their power and their greatness from going to other countries and robbing from them, stealing from them, making a war against them, and just taking whatever they could get, they took. And so that's how they got all their goods and their wealth. And then the last thing I found out about Nineveh was, many believe that the name referred to a goddess, and this goddess was called Ishtar, I believe, if I'm pronouncing that right, Ishtar. And Ishtar was a pagan god of love, fertility, sex, and war. So we see that God is telling Jonah to go down to Nineveh, go down to this city that has all these people who they've gotten from going and robbing from people, from cheating people, from killing people and taking from them. Go down there and tell them that they're going to perish, they're going to go to hell that if they don't repent. Go down there to those people that worship this false pagan god of war and sex and idolatry and all this other stuff. Go down there, tell you one person, go down there and tell all of these people that are these people who are going to go to hell. Tell them they're going to go to hell and I'm going to help you. Now I don't know about y'all, but if God told me to go down to a city like that, whose nickname was the Robber City, and their god was this god of war and all these other things, I'd probably be pretty scared. Not going to lie. I probably wouldn't want to do it. So I'm not criticizing Jonah for his hesitation to go and to do that. I don't think any one of us would just be like, right away, be like, oh, God, pick me, please. Can I go? I don't think any one of us, if we were being totally honest, would say that. And so we see that God was calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. And then I got to thinking about, what's he calling you to do tonight? Maybe he's calling you to take a new job. Maybe it's a job where, you might get paid less or something, or you might have to work a little bit more. Maybe he's calling you to do that. You've got a real nice cushy job right now, but he's saying, go here. I want you to go here and do this job. Or maybe the job you have right now, you don't really like it, for whatever reason, either the people you work with or maybe it doesn't have the benefits you like, or just for whatever reason you don't like it, and you want a different job. You want to go somewhere else and get a better job, but God says, no, I want you to stay here. Maybe not for forever, but right now I want you to stay here. And some other things I jotted down was maybe he's wanting you to move. Maybe you like where you live at, but he's saying, no, I want you to move to go to this city or this country or just down the road and move. You don't want to move. Or maybe you want to move, but he's saying, no, you stay where you're at. I've got you where I want you for my purpose and my reason. You don't have to necessarily know the reason I have you here, but you're here for where you need to be. So just stick with me and trust me. Maybe he's calling some of you tonight to, I don't know, maybe to help out with some sort of ministry here at the church with maybe the Awana kids, or maybe, he wants you to start some sort of missionary project, or maybe he wants you to teach Sunday school or to preach. Whatever he wants you to do, tonight he's calling each one of us to do something. I mean, every single one of us tonight, God has something that he wants us to do. Or maybe he's wanting you to be that godly spouse or that godly parent or kid. He's calling you to be that child, that godly child for your parents, who's obedient to them and reverences them and gives them the respect that they deserve. It could be something really, really big, or it could be something really, really small, in our eyes. But really, when you think about it, whatever God's calling you to do, there's nothing big and there's nothing small. If it's what he's called you to do, it's what he wants you to do. So in his eyes and in his kingdom, it's all level. So don't think that just because, God didn't call me to be a pastor of a church with however many hundreds of people or with this great ministry like some of these other people have, just because he didn't call you to do that, whatever he's called you to do, if you're doing it to fulfill his will, you're right and you're fine. Speaking of mission, I wasn't going to go here with this right off the bat, but speaking of missionary work, missionary work, a lot of times, when God calls people to be missionaries, he calls them, to other countries or to faraway places, like the Youngbloods, they're up in Alaska. But, you don't have to go, thousands of miles away to do missionary work. You can go in your backyard and do missionary work. God can call you to do missionary work in your backyard. A good example is just a few miles up the road in Asheville. I mean, hello, is anybody else think Asheville needs missionary work? Asheville's only probably, if not the sodomite, effeminate, drunkard capital of the East Coast, probably of America. Maybe San Francisco might be the only one ahead of it. So tonight, whatever God's calling you to do, I encourage and I urge and I beg and plead with you not to resist that. Because we're going to see just a little bit later on how when Jonah originally resisted that, what happened to him and the people that were around him. So I beg you that, you know, just even if it's something you don't want to do, even if whatever God's calling you to do tonight or in your life at this time, if it's whatever it is He wants you to do, you may not want to do it, but you need to do it because eventually He's going to get you to the point where you have to do it. You know, eventually He'll get you to the point where you have no other choice and you'll have resulted in a lot of heartache and pain to get there. So just make it easy on yourself and just go ahead and do it and go with God tonight. So that's just very briefly on God's calling for Jonah. The second part I want to talk about is our running and our rebellion, Jonah's and ours. So in verse 3, we see that Jonah, he rose up and he went to flee to Tarshish from God. And so he goes down to Joppa and he pays a fare, gets on a ship at Joppa, goes to Tarshish. Now, from Joppa, for those of you who don't know, Joppa was in Israel. And so Joppa to Nineveh was roughly 550 miles northeast. And from Joppa to Tarshish was over 2,500 miles due west across the Mediterranean Sea in the very southern part of Spain where it almost touches Africa. So Jonah, in his mind, he's saying, well, you know, I can get 2,500 miles away from God. He can't find me there. But we see that Jonah was wrong. And, you know, we can think that we can run far, far away from God. We can go to the other side of the world. But, you know, he knows where you're at. You can't hide from God. If he's calling you to do something tonight, you can't hide from God. You can't just take off, get in your car and drive somewhere and be like, oh, he can't find me here. He's going to find you just like he found Jonah. He's never lost you. He's going to find you. He always knows where you're at. And so I really, some other people may know what the significance of him trying to go to Tarshish is. I don't. I just see it as he thought it was a really good place to hide. You know, I don't know, maybe the people that Jonah knew there in Tarshish, maybe he had some family there, or maybe he'd been there before and he had friends, or he knew that the people weren't very wicked like the people in Nineveh were. I don't know. I just know that to him, that was a place where he thought he could hide from God. And you know, like, and I wonder, like, what's your Tarshish? What place is your Tarshish tonight? You know, what place are you in where you think that you can hide from God? Where you're on your metaphorical boat, leaving, trying to go from where God is to your Tarshish? You know, it could be just down the road, or it could be way far, far away. But just again, wherever that your Tarshish is at tonight. And I may just be preaching to one person tonight, I don't know. But wherever your Tarshish is at, you're not going to be able to hide from God in your Tarshish. And I already sound like a broken record, but you can't hide from God wherever your Tarshish is. And then in verse 4, we see that, you know, Jonah's on the boat. And, you know, he's on the boat, smooth sailing so far. And then this great and powerful wind comes up. You know, it starts making the sea, you know, choppy and waves everywhere and plundering the boat. And it says in the end, so that the ship was like to be broken. So the winds are and the waves are beating the ship so much that, you know, it's about to just absolutely break the boat and tear it in pieces. And they're all going to be shipwrecked and they're all going to drown out in this storm on the sea. And from that I see that, you know, God will get you to the point of where you can't do anything but say, yes, God, I will do that. I don't have a specific example in my life, but I personally know people who God wanted them to do something. It doesn't matter what He wanted them to do. I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know people who God wanted them to do this. They went the opposite way as far and as quickly as they could. And it took God bringing them either to like almost their deathbed in the hospital, or they were almost completely ruined financially. They got to the point where they were so low, all they could do was look up at Him. And then they finally said, okay, God, I've got nothing else to do. I've got nowhere else to go. I guess I'll have to go with You. And I don't want any of us to be like that tonight. You know, we don't have to be like that tonight. You know, you don't have to create those problems and those issues in your life. You know, all you got to do is just if God's telling you to do something tonight, just say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. And you can save yourself a whole lot of agony and misery and pain and suffering in the process. just do what he says to do. Do what he wants you to do. And I'm not exempt from this. I'm the same way. You know, whatever he tells me to do, I have to do it too. And if he tells me to do something and I say no and run the other way, then he'll do what he has to do to get me to the point where all I can do is look up and say, okay, God, you got my attention. What do you want me to do? But we don't have to do that tonight. And then I also got to thinking about that, the storm that came up. You know, I was started wondering if Jonah hadn't been on that boat, if Jonah hadn't been running from God, would that storm have came up? You know, would those sailors, those mariners, the Bible calls them in the next verse, would they have been in that storm, or would that storm still have occurred, but Jonah just wouldn't have been on the boat? You know, I don't know the answer to that. Some of you may, who are much more knowledgeable about the Bible and things of God than I am, may know, but I don't know that answer personally. And then in verse 5, where it says, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the mariners, the wares, the word wares in here, it's pottery. So I don't know if they made the pottery but essentially they had goods that someone had made that they were delivering to sell for money. So, you know, their profession or whatever was to sell, to ship. And then, you know, they're shippers, so they're moving these products from one place to another by boat. But they dumped them. The thing that ran their life, they dumped it. The thing that brought them their money, their income, they dumped it. What do you need to dump tonight to get to where God wants you to be? What do you have in your way that you're holding on to that you have to let go in order to go with what God wants you to do? It may be something small, or it may be something really, really big, but someone's got to dump something tonight that's holding you back from doing what God wants you to do. And you may think that, oh, well, if I dump, I really like this. If I dump this, you know, I'll never get it back, or, you know, that it's too valuable to me. You know, God, you know, you follow God, he'll bless you. You know, I mean, there are storms and there are trials in our life. Every one of us goes through them, but I, you know, you can see it from people that who follow God and have a desire for God. God blesses them. They still go through trials and tribulations and they have storms, but God blesses them. He blesses them way more than they deserve and could ever think of, myself included. Everything he's given me, I don't deserve any bit of it, but I'm thankful for everything he's given me. He hasn't given me a lot, but he's given me more than what a lot of people have, and I'm thankful for that tonight. And also in verse 5, I also see that it was a very, very, very powerful storm. And how do I get that out of it is the fact that, it said that every man cried unto his own God. You know, so these mariners, you know, they, like I said before, they make their living, you know, they ship things, so they're always on the sea. So, you know, they no doubt, they see storms all the time. They see the winds blow. They see the waves roll and beat the ship and everything and probably come in the ship from time to time. And so, you know, so when a storm comes up, most of the time you would think, oh, they'll be like, oh, it's no big deal. I know we're going to be okay. I mean, you probably know people who live somewhere where they either get hurricanes or tornadoes, or maybe they get a whole lot of snow, or somewhere where these storms occur. And, you know, you can be maybe visiting them or on vacation or something, and the storm comes up and you're terrified to death. You're scared to death, scared that you're just going to die. And then you start talking to one of them and they're like, what are you worried about? And you're like, what am I worried about? I'm about to die here. But they're like, oh no, this happens all the time. It's no big deal. But when they start getting worried, when you see them worried, you better be worried. And that's what I see how these mariners were tonight. You know, they started crying unto their false gods, but they were crying unto their false gods. And so, you know, so clearly they're all in serious trouble in this chapter. And it was a result of Jonah initially being rebellious and resistant to God. And, you know, are you guilty of that tonight? You know, are you guilty of of just like when these mariners, when the storm was really, really bad, where they couldn't do a thing about it, where they didn't know anything else to do other than to call on their false gods. Are you guilty of that when, you know, you only call on God when it's something that you absolutely cannot handle? Or do you go to God with everything you got, no matter if it's little or big, you know, and just all the time always asking Him for His help and His guidance? You know, don't be like the mariners and only call on God when you need something, when it's something so big you can't handle. I mean, yes, we need to call on God. We have to call on God for His help when it's something that we can't handle. But even when it is something that you can't handle, or you think you can handle at least, call on Him anyways. It'll do you a world of good to always have an open line of communication with Him, no matter what it is. But in this rebellion and in this this resistance, I also see that God took something that was a storm and He turned it into a blessing. And you know, I'm thankful that even in our rebellion, even though we should not rebel, I am in no way saying giving you or myself or anyone the right to rebel against God. But what I'm saying is that in this rebellion, God still used it for His good. And how He did that is later on we see where through the rebellion and through the storms, or the storm, that the mariners, they came to know Jonah's God. So I won't read all those verses again, but from this point on, we know that Jonah's asleep on the ship. The captain finds him asleep, and he comes down, he wakes him up and says, you know, basically, hey, what are you doing? You know, cry on your God. You know, may He have I'm paraphrasing, may He have mercy on us and help us. And so the other people on the ship, you know, they go and they cast lots to find out for who caused the storm to come upon them. And the lots fall on Jonah, and I don't know anything about that. I don't understand how those lots work or anything like that. But they cast lots, and they find out it's Jonah. And so they go to Jonah, and, you know, they're just basically saying, you know, why have you done this to us? What's the deal? Why is this happening? And so then he tells them it's because he's running he's a Hebrew and he's running from the true God of Israel. You know, he's telling them he's a follower of the true and one and holy God. And so then, you know, they're like, oh, how do we fix this? What do we do with this? You know, how can we get out of this? You know, they're like, you know, we've cried to our gods, they won't hear us. You know, can your God help us, please? We're about to die over here. And so, you know, they go and they keep trying to row and trying to get out of the storm. And finally, they see that their rowing, it's not going to work. You know, all their tolling, it's useless. They're not getting anywhere. They're not doing anything but sinking farther and farther down. The ship's getting more underwater. And so finally, Jonah says, well, I know it's me. God needs me, wants me. So he tells them to throw him overboard. And we know the story that God throws him overboard. The people on the ship throw Jonah overboard, and immediately, you know, it's calm. It's peaceful, it's calm, and everyone's okay, everyone's safe. And later on in verses 14, 15, and 16, we'll read those real quick. It says, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. So they, you know, we see they tried calling on their gods, it didn't work. And so we see that, you know, they cried out to God. You know, they asked God for mercy and for forgiveness. You know, they made a sacrifice, they made an offering to the Lord. And, you know, I got to thinking about that witness that they saw, what they witnessed, how they heard the testimony of Jonah. Then they threw Jonah into the sea, and immediately it was calm. And so that just right there, that just should have said all they needed to hear and shown everything they needed to see with the fact that what Jonah said, you know, God was the only person they knew that could calm that sea. And so immediately it was calm. And so they're like, well, I guess that is the one true God. That is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, that's Jonah's God. That's the one true living God. And they got to see that And they saw that, and they got redemption, and they got salvation through Jonah, because Jonah was rebellious, because Jonah was resistant to God. And again, I'm not saying that that gives us any one of us the right to be rebellious or to be resistant, but I'm thankful that God could take something like Jonah's rebellion, and he could turn it into his good and to furtherance his kingdom, because those men on that ship, they found the Lord. And just think about what would happen, or what happened after they got over to, I guess they kept going to Tarshish. I don't know. They may have just turned back. Who knows? But whenever they got to where they were going and got back to their families and all the people they saw, they said, "Let me tell you what just happened to us." And they began to tell them about this guy named Jonah who got on their ship. And they're kind of like, "I don't know who this guy is, but he paid. So, you know, we'll take him to Tarshish with us." And how the storm came up, and they thought they were going to die, and how they told him the story of how Jonah said he was, you know, following the one true God, and how they threw him overboard immediately. The sea was calm, and how they then found the Lord because of that. Can you imagine that with Jonah's rebellion, how God turned that into affecting not only those men, but the rest of those families and the community that they lived in? Just think about that for a second. Those men and those families and those communities may have never found the Lord if it had not been for Jonah's rebellion and his resistance. But God can still use, even tonight, if you're rebellious, if you're resistant, you know, you need to come down and you need to get it right with God. But while you're in your rebellion, God can still use you to reach people. So let him. Still listen to God. Don't just because, even if you know you're in rebellion, you're in resistance, listen to him. He still wants to use you. He can still use you. You know, he's probably going to chastise you for it. You're probably going to get a spanking for it, but he can still use you. And I'd rather get a spanking and still be of use for God and eventually get right with him and do what he wants me to do than just keep going. And then thirdly and lastly, and I know this is very brief, but it's just what he gave me. I see his submission. Jonah's submission. In the end, he wound up doing what God intended for him to do in the beginning. In the beginning, he told him to go to Nineveh and cry against that city and tell them that they're going to be destroyed if they don't repent. We know Jonah didn't want to originally, so he gets on the ship. But then, you know, eventually, after he gets thrown into the sea, we all know the story. He gets swallowed by the great fish, the whale. And then 3 days later, he gets spit back up on the dry land, and God again tells him, go to Nineveh. So this time he goes to Nineveh like he should have done in the first place. And he goes in there and he starts preaching and proclaiming and telling them that, you know, you better repent or, you know, you're going to be destroyed. And so we know that from the king down, everyone will put on sackcloth and got in the ashes and repented of God and got right with God. And we know that God spared every single person in that city. He spared the whole city. Essentially, it was the greatest revival in the whole Bible. Over 120,000 people got saved and got right with God. So Jonah, he still wound up getting God's will done. But he caused a storm there in between from the beginning to the end. He caused a storm that shouldn't have been there, that wasn't originally intended to be there. Now, it didn't catch God by surprise. God knew what Jonah was going to do. God knew Jonah was going to be rebellious and was going to be resistant. He knows when we're going to be rebellious and we're going to be resistant. He knows we're not perfect, but that doesn't give us a right to be rebellious and to be resistant. You know, that's not what we were created to do. We were created to follow God's will as closely and as perfectly as we can as a human being. And yes, we will falter, we will fail, we will trip up, but it's our job to do our best to do what we can to fulfill God's will for our life and to be submissive to him, and, you know, and to not cause a storm in your life. You know, just tonight, I'm closing in just a second, but tonight, save yourself a storm. Save your family a storm. Save your community a storm. Save your church a storm by not being rebellious and by not being resistant. Don't be like Jonah. Don't put other people in peril. Don't put other people's lives in danger. You know, don't put your relationship with God in danger. Don't be like Jonah. Yes, Jonah, he was a great man. God used him to save over 120,000 people. And God may not be calling you to save 120,000 people tonight. He may just be calling you to walk down to your next door neighbor and to say, hey, would you like to come to church next Sunday with me? Or he may be calling you to talk to that person at work with you, you know, that you know doesn't live right and, you know, their life's messed up, and said, hey, you know, I know this guy named Jesus, and, you know, he can help you fix your problems. He can solve your problems for you. He loves you. He died for you. He don't want you to go to hell. He don't want you to keep doing whatever it is they may be doing. They might be out running around on their spouse. They might be out getting drunk every night. They out maybe doing who knows what. You know, don't cause a storm in your life by not doing originally what God's calling you to do. And again, I sound like a broken record, but you can save yourself, and I can save myself a whole lot of resistance and a whole lot of storms if you just don't be resistant. Just whatever God's telling you to do, calling you to do, just say, okay, Lord, you created everything from me down to the dust of the earth. I know that you know what you're doing, so I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to trust you, and I know that whatever you want me to do, it's your will, and it's going to be perfect, and it's going to be right, and I know that eventually, one way or another, I'm going to do it. No matter if I go and do it right now, or if I cause a storm, I want to do it, but don't cause yourself a storm tonight. Just don't cause yourself a storm tonight. Don't be resistant. Don't be rebellious. Don't be like the prodigal son, and want, I don't know where this, that came from God, but it came from me. Don't be like the prodigal son and go out there and wander around and cause all this turmoil for you and have to come crawling back to God and say, well, God, I'm sorry. Would you please forgive me? Can I still do that what you want me to do originally? Don't be like that. Stay with God. Be like the other son. Stay with God. Be faithful to the Father. Stay with Him, and He'll bless you. And it was short, but that's all I got for you tonight. I don't know why he gave this to me. It may just be for one person. I don't know, but it's what he gave me. You want me to do the altar call? Or do you want to do it? Okay. If someone would come to the piano and organ, please, and play whatever the Lord tells you to.